exile or ignominy or bonds or pain, the sentence of their conqueror. This is now our doom, which, if we can sustain and bear, our supreme foe in time may much remit his anger, and perhaps thus far removed, not mind us, not offending, satisfied with what is punished. Whence these raging fires will slacken, if his breath stir not their flames. Our purer essence then will overcome their noxious vapour, or inured not feel, or changed at length, and to the place conformed in temper and in nature, will receive familiar the fierce heat and void of pain. This horror will grow mild, this darkness light, besides what hope the never-ending flight of future days may bring, what chance, what change, worth waiting, since our present lot appears for happy, though but ill not worst, if we procure not to ourselves more woe. Thus Belial, with words clothed in reason's garb, counseled ignoble ease and peaceful sloth, not peace. And after him thus Mammon spake. Either to disenthrone the King of Heaven we war, if war be best, or to regain our own right lost. Him to unthrone we then may hope, when everlasting fate shall yield to fickle chance, and chaos judge the strife. The former vain to hope argues as vain the latter, for what place can be for us within heaven's bound, unless heaven's Lord supreme we overpower? Suppose he should relent and publish grace to all on promise made of new subjection. With what eyes could we stand in his presence humble and receive strict laws imposed to celebrate his throne with warbled hymns and to his godhead sing forced hallelujahs, while he lordly sits, our envied sovereign, and his altar breathes ambrosial odours and ambrosial flowers, our servile offerings? This must be our task in heaven, this our delight. How wearisome eternity so spent in worship paid to whom we hate! Let us not then pursue by force impossible, by leave obtained unacceptable, though in heaven our state of splendid vassalage, but rather seek our own good from ourselves, and from our own live to ourselves, though in this vast recess free, and to none accountable, preferring hard liberty before the easy yoke of servile pomp. Our greatness will appear then most conspicuous, when great things of small, useful of hurtful, prosperous of adverse, we can create, and in what place soe'er thrive under evil, and work ease out of pain through labour and endurance. This deep world of darkness do we dread? How oft amidst thick clouds and dark doth heaven's all-ruling sire choose to reside, his glory unobscured, and with the majesty of darkness round covers his throne, from whence deep thunders roar, mustering their rage, and heaven resembles hell? As he, our darkness, cannot we his light imitate when we please? This desert soil wants not her hidden lustre, gems and gold, nor want we skill or art, from whence to raise magnificence. And what can heaven show more? Our torments also may in length of time become our elements, these piercing fires as soft as now severe, our temper changed into their temper, which must needs remove the sensible of pain. All things invite to peaceful counsels and the settled state of order. How in safety best we may compose our present evils, with regard of what we are, and where, dismissing quite all thoughts of war. Ye have what I advise. He scarce had finished, when such murmur filled the assembly, as when hollow rocks retain the sound of blustering winds, which all night long had roused the sea, now with hoarse cadence lull seafaring men o'erwatched, whose bark by chance or pinnace anchors in a craggy bay, after the tempest. Such applause was heard, as Mammon ended, and his sentence pleased, advising peace. For such another field they dreaded worse than hell, so much the fear of thunder and the sword of Michael wrought still within them, and no less desire to found this nether empire, which might rise by policy and long process of time, in emulation opposite to heaven. Which then Beelzebub perceived, then whom, Satan except, none higher sat. With grave aspect he rose, and in his rising seemed a pillar of state. Deep on his front engraven deliberation sat, and public care, and princely counsel in his face yet shone. Majestic, though in ruin, sage he stood, with Atlantean shoulders fit to bear the weight of mightiest monarchies. His look drew audience and attention, still as night, or summer's noontide air, while thus he spake. Thrones and imperial powers, offspring of heaven, ethereal virtues, or these titles now must we renounce, and changing style be called princes of hell? For so the popular vote inclines, here to continue, and build up here a growing empire. Doubtless, while we dream, and know not that the King of Heaven hath doomed this place our dungeon, not our safe retreat beyond his potent arm, to live exempt from Heaven's high jurisdiction, in new league banded against his throne, but to remain in strictest bondage, though thus far removed, under the inevitable curb, reserved his captive multitude. For he, be sure, in height or depth, still first and last will reign, sole king, and of his kingdom lose no part by our revolt, but over hell extend his empire, and with iron scepter rule us here, as with his golden those in heaven. What sit we then projecting peace and war? War hath determined us, and foiled with loss irreparable. Terms of peace, yet none vouchsafed or sought. For what peace will be given to us enslaved, but custody severe, and stripes and arbitrary punishment inflicted? And what peace can we return but to our power, hostility and hate, untamed reluctance, and revenge, though slow, yet ever plotting how the conqueror least may reap his conquest, and may least rejoice in doing what we most in suffering feel? Nor will occasion want, nor shall we need, with dangerous expedition to invade heaven, whose high walls fear no assault or siege or ambush from the deep. What if we find some easier enterprise? There is a place, if ancient and prophetic fame in heaven err not, another world, the happy seat of some new race called man, about this time to be created like to us, though less in power and excellence, but favoured more of him who rules above. So was his will pronounced among the gods, and by an oath that shook heaven's whole circumference, confirmed. Thither let us bend all our thoughts, to learn what creatures there inhabit, of what mould or substance, how endued and what their power, and where their weakness, how attempted best, by force or subtlety. Though heaven be shut, and heaven's high arbitrator sit secure in his own strength, this place may lie exposed, the utmost border of his kingdom, left to their defence who hold it. Here, perhaps, some advantageous act may be achieved by sudden onset, either with hell fire to waste his whole creation, or possess all as our own, and drive as we were driven the puny habitants, or if not drive, seduce them to our party, that their god may prove their foe, and with repenting hand abolish his own works. This would surpass common revenge, and interrupt his joy in our confusion, and our joy upraise in his disturbance, when his darling sons, hurled headlong to partake with us, shall curse their frail original and faded bliss, faded so soon, Advise if this be worth attempting, or to sit in darkness here hatching vain empires. Thus Beelzebub pleaded his devilish counsel, first devised by Satan, and in part proposed. For whence, but from the author of all ill, could spring so deep a malice, to confound the race of mankind in one root, and earth with hell to mingle and involve, done all to spite the great Creator? But their spite still serves his glory to augment. The bold design pleased highly those infernal states, and joy sparkled in all their eyes. With full assent they vote, whereat his speech he thus renews. Well have ye judged, well ended long debate, synod of gods, and like to what ye are, great things resolved, which from the lowest deep will once more lift us up, in spite of fate, nearer our ancient seat. Perhaps in view of those bright confines, whence with neighbouring arms and opportune excursion, we may chance re-enter heaven, or else in some mild zone dwell not unvisited of heaven's fair light, secure, and at the brightening orient beam purge off this gloom, the soft delicious air, to heal the scar of these corrosive fires, shall breathe her balm. But first whom shall we send, in search of this new world, whom shall we find sufficient? Who shall tempt with wandering feet the dark, unbottomed, infinite abyss, and through the palpable obscure find out his uncouth way, or spread his airy flight, upborne with indefatigable wings? Over the vast abrupt, ere he arrive the happy isle, what strength, what art can then suffice, or what evasion bear him safe, through the strict sentries and stations thick of angels watching round? Here he had need all circumspection, and we now no less choice in our suffrage. For on whom we send the weight of all and our last hope relies. This said, he sat, and expectation held his look suspense, awaiting who appeared to second, or oppose, or undertake the perilous attempt. But all sat mute, pondering the danger with deep thoughts, and each in other's countenance read his own dismay, astonished. None among the choice and prime of those heaven-warring champions could be found so hardy as to proffer or accept alone the dreadful voyage, till at last Satan, whom now transcendent glory raised above his fellows, with monarchal pride, conscious of highest worth, unmoved thus spake. O progeny of heaven, imperial thrones, with reason hath deep silence and demur seized us, though undismayed, long is the way, and hard that out of hell leads up to light. Our prison strong, this huge convex of fire, outrageous to devour, immures us round ninefold, and gates of burning adamant barred over us prohibit all egress. These past, if any pass, the void profound of unessential night receives him next, wide gaping, and with utter loss of being threatens him, plunged in that abortive gulf. If thence he scape into whatever world or unknown region, what remains him less than unknown dangers and as hard escapes? But I should ill become this throne, O peers, and this imperial sovereignty, adorned with splendour, armed with power, if aught proposed and judged of public moment, in the shape of difficulty or danger, could deter me from attempting. Wherefore do I assume these royalties, and not refuse to reign, refusing to accept as great a share of hazard as of honour, due alike to him who reigns, and so much to him due of hazard more, as he above the rest high honoured sits? Go, therefore, mighty powers, terror of heaven though fallen, intend at home, while here shall be our home, what best may ease the present misery, and render hell more tolerable. if there be cure or charm to respite or deceive or slack the pain of this ill mansion, intermit no watch against a wakeful foe, while I abroad through all the coasts of dark destruction seek deliverance for us all. This enterprise none shall partake with me. Thus saying, rose the monarch, and prevented all reply, prudent, lest from his resolution raised, others among the chief might offer now, certain to be refused, what erst they feared, and so refused might in opinion stand his rivals, winning cheap the high repute which he through hazard huge must earn. But they dreaded not more the adventure than his voice forbidding, and at once with him they rose. Their rising all at once was as the sound of thunder heard remote. Towards him they bend with awful reverence prone, and as a god extol him equal to the highest in heaven. Nor failed they to express how much they praised, that for the general safety he despised his own. For neither do the spirits damned lose all their virtue, lest bad man should boast their specious deeds on earth, which glory excites, or close ambition varnished o'er with zeal. Thus they, their doubtful consultations dark, ended rejoicing in their matchless chief. As when from mountain tops the dusky clouds ascending, while the north wind sleeps, o'erspread heaven's cheerful face, the lowering element scowls o'er the darkened landscape snow or shower. If chance the radiant sun with farewell sweet extend his evening beam, the fields revive. The birds their notes renew, and bleating herds attest their joy, that hill and valley rings. O shame to men, devil with devil damned, firm concord holds, men only disagree of creatures rational, though under hope of heavenly grace, and God proclaiming peace, yet live in hatred, enmity, and strife among themselves, and levy cruel wars, wasting the earth, each other to destroy, as if, which might induce us to accord, men have not hellish foes enow besides, that day and night for his destruction wait. The Stygian council thus dissolved, and forth in order came the grand infernal peers. Midst came their mighty paramount, and seemed alone the antagonist of heaven, nor less than hell's dread emperor with pomp supreme, and godlike imitated state. Him round a globe of fiery seraphim enclosed, with bright emblazonry and horrent arms. Then of their session ended, they bid cry with trumpet's regal sound the great result. Toward the four winds, four speedy cherubim put to their mouths the sounding alchemy, by herald's voice explained, the hollow abyss heard far and wide, and all the host of hell with deafening shout returned them loud acclaim. Thence more at ease their minds, and somewhat raised by false presumptuous hope, the ranged powers disband, and wandering each his several way, pursues, as inclination or sad choice, leads him perplexed, where he may likeliest find truce to his restless thoughts, and entertain the irksome hours, till his great chief return. Part on the plain, or in the air sublime, upon the wing, or in swift race contend, as at the Olympian games or Pythian fields. Part curb their fiery steeds, or shun the goal with rapid wheels, or fronted brigades form. As when to warn proud cities war appears, waged in the troubled sky, and armies rush to battle in the clouds. Before each van prick forth the airy knights, and couch their spears, till thickest legions close. With feats of arms from either end of heaven the welkin burns. Others, with vast Typhean rage, more fell, rend up both rocks and hills, and ride the air in whirlwind. Hell scarce holds the wild uproar. as when Alcides from Oechalia, crowned with conquest, felt the envenomed robe and tore through pain up by the roots the Salian pines, and Lycas from the top of Oeta threw into the Euboic Sea. Others more mild, retreated in a silent valley, sing, with notes angelical to many a harp, their own heroic deeds and hapless fall by doom of battle, and complain that fate, free virtue, should enthrall to force or chance. Their song was partial, but the harmony, what could it less when spirits immortal sing, suspended hell and took with ravishment the thronging audience, in discourse more sweet, for eloquence the soul, song charms the sense. Others apart sat on a hill retired, in thoughts more elevate, and reasoned high, of providence, foreknowledge, will, and fate. Fixed fate, free will, foreknowledge, absolute, and found no end in wandering mazes lost. Of good and evil much they argued then, of happiness and final misery, passion and apathy, and glory and shame, vain wisdom all, and false philosophy. Yet with a pleasing sorcery could charm pain for a while, or anguish, and excite fallacious hope, or arm the obdured breast with stubborn patience as with triple steel. Another part in squadrons and gross bands, on bold adventure to discover wide that dismal world, if any clime perhaps might yield them easier habitation, bend four ways their flying march, along the banks of four infernal rivers that disgorge into the burning lake their baleful streams. Abhorred Styx, the flood of deadly hate, sad Acheron of sorrow, black and deep, Cocytus, named of lamentation loud, heard on the rueful stream, fierce Phlegethon, whose waves of torrent fire inflame with rage. Far off from these a slow and silent stream, Lethe, the river of oblivion, rolls, her watery labyrinth, whereof who drinks forthwith his former state and being forgets, forgets both joy and grief, pleasure and pain. Beyond this flood a frozen continent lies dark and wild, beat with perpetual storms of whirlwind and dire hail, which on firm land thaws not, but gathers heap and ruin seams of ancient pile. All else deep snow and ice, a gulf profound as that Serbonian bog, betwixt Damiata and Mount Cassius old, where armies whole have sunk. The parching air burns frore, and cold performs the effect of fire. Thither by harpy-footed furies hailed, at certain revolutions all the damned are brought, and feel by turns the bitter change of fierce extremes, extremes by change more fierce, from beds of raging fire to starve in ice their soft ethereal warmth, and there to pine immovable, infixed and frozen round, periods of time, thence hurried back to fire. They ferry over this Lethean sound, both to and fro, their sorrow to augment, and wish and struggle as they pass, to reach the tempting stream with one small drop to lose in sweet forgetfulness all pain and woe, all in one moment and so near the brink. But fate withstands, and to oppose the attempt, Medusa with Gorgonian terror guards the ford, and of itself the water flies, all taste of living white, as once it fled the lip of Tantalus. Thus roving on, in confused march forlorn, the adventurous bands with shuddering horror pale, and eyes aghast, viewed first their lamentable lot, and found no rest. Through many a dark and dreary vale they passed, and many a region dolorous, or many a frozen, many a fiery alp, rocks, caves, lakes, fens, bogs, dens, and shades of death, a universe of death, which God by curse created evil, for evil only good, where all life dies, death lives, and nature breeds, perverse, all monstrous, all prodigious things, abominable, unutterable, and worse, than fables yet have feigned or fear conceived, Gorgons and Hydras and Chimeras dire. Meanwhile, the adversary of God and man, Satan, with thoughts inflamed of highest design, puts on swift wings, and towards the gates of hell explores his solitary flight. Sometimes he scours the right-hand coast, sometimes the left. Now shaves with level wing the deep, then soars up to the fiery concave towering high. As when, far off at sea, a fleet descried hangs on the clouds by equinoctial winds, close sailing from Bengala, or the isles of Ternate and Tidore, whence merchants bring their spicy drugs. They on the trading flood, through the wide Ethiopian to the Cape, ply stemming nightly toward the pole. So seemed far off the flying fiend. At last appear hell bounds high-reaching to the horrid roof, and thrice threefold the gates. Three folds were brass, three iron, three of adamantine rock, impenetrable, impaled with circling fire, yet unconsumed. Before the gates there sat, on either side, a formidable shape. The one seemed woman to the waist, and fair, but ended foul in many a scaly fold, voluminous and vast, a serpent armed with mortal sting. About her middle round a cry of hellhounds never ceasing barked with wide Siberian mouths full loud, and rung a hideous peal. Yet when they list would creep, if aught disturbed their noise, into her womb, and kennel there, yet there still barked and howled, within unseen. Far less abhorred than these, vexed Scylla, bathing in the sea that parts Calabria from the hoarse Trinacrian shore, nor uglier follow the night hag when called in secret. Riding through the air she comes, lured with the smell of infant blood to dance with Lapland witches, while the labouring moon eclipses at their charms. The other shape, if shape it might be called, that shape had none, distinguishable in member, joint, or limb, or substance, might be called that shadow seemed, for each seemed either, black it stood as night, fierce as ten furies, terrible as hell, and shook a dreadful dart. What seemed his head? The likeness of a kingly crown had on. Satan was now at hand, and from his seat the monster, moving onward, came as fast, with horrid strides. Hell trembled as he strode. The undaunted fiend, what this might be admired, admired, not feared, God and his Son except, created thing naught values he nor shunned, and with disdainful look thus first began. Whence and what art thou, execrable shape, that darest, though grim and terrible, advance thy miscreated front athwart my way, to yonder gates? Through them I mean to pass, that be assured, without leave asked of thee. Retire, or taste thy folly, and learn by proof hell-born, not to contend with spirits of heaven. To whom the goblin, full of wrath, replied, Art thou that traitor angel, art thou he, who first broke peace in heaven and faith till then unbroken and in proud rebellious arms, drew after him the third part of heaven's sons, conjured against the highest, for which both thou and they, outcast from God, are here condemned to waste eternal days in woe and pain? And reckonst thou thyself with spirits of heaven? Hell doomed, and breathes defiance here and scorn, where I reign king, and to enrage thee more, thy king and lord? Back to thy punishment, false fugitive, and to thy speed add wings, lest with a whip of scorpions I pursue thy lingering, or with one stroke of this dart strange horror seize thee, and pangs unfelt before. So spake the grisly terror, and in shape so speaking and so threatening grew tenfold, more dreadful and deform. On the other side, incensed with indignation, Satan stood unterrified, and like a comet burned, that fires the length of Ophiuchus huge in the Arctic sky, and from his horrid hair shakes pestilence and war, each at the head levelled his deadly aim, their fatal hands no second stroke intend, and such a frown each cast at the other, as when two black clouds, with heaven's artillery fraught, come rattling on over the Caspian, then stand front to front, hovering a space, till winds the signal blow to join their dark encounter in mid-air. So frowned the mighty combatants, that hell grew darker at their frown, so matched they stood. For never but once more was either like to meet so great a foe, and now great deeds had been achieved, whereof all hell had rung, had not the snaky sorceress that sat fast by hell-gate and kept the fatal key risen, and with hideous outcry rushed between. "O father, what intends thy hand?" she cried. "Against thy only son, what fury, O son, possesses thee to bend that mortal dart against thy father's head? And knowest for whom? For him who sits above and laughs the while at thee ordained his drudge, to execute whate'er his wrath, which he calls justice, bids. His wrath, which one day will destroy ye both." She spake, and at her words the hellish pest forbore. Then these to her Satan returned. "So strange thy outcry, and thy words so strange, thou interposest, that my sudden hand prevented spares to tell thee yet by deeds what it intends. Till first I know of thee what thing thou art, thus double-formed, and why, in this infernal vale first met, thou callst me father, and that phantasm callst my son. I know thee not, nor ever saw till now sight more detestable than him and thee." To whom thus the portress of Hellgate replied, "Hast thou forgot me then, and do I seem now in thine eyes so foul, once deemed so fair in heaven, when at the assembly, and in sight of all the seraphim with thee combined, in bold conspiracy against heaven's king? All on a sudden miserable pain surprised thee, dim thine eyes, and dizzy swam in darkness, while thy head flames thick and fast threw forth, till on the left side, opening wide, likest to thee in shape and countenance bright, then, shining heavenly fair, a goddess armed, out of thy head I sprung. Amazement seized all the host of heaven. Back they recoiled afraid, at first, and called me sin, and for a sign portentous held me. But familiar grown I pleased, and with attractive graces won the most averse, thee chiefly, who full oft thyself in me thy perfect image viewing, becamest enamoured, and such joy thou took'st with me in secret, that my womb conceived a growing burden. Meanwhile war arose, and fields were fought in heaven, wherein remained, for what could else, to our almighty foe clear victory, to our part loss and rout through all the Empyrean. Down they fell, driven headlong from the pitch of heaven, down into this deep, and in the general fall, I also. At which time this powerful key into my hand was given, with charge to keep these gates forever shut, which none can pass without my opening. Pensive here I sat alone, but long I sat not, till my womb, pregnant by thee, and now excessive grown, prodigious motion felt, and rueful throes. At last this odious offspring whom thou seest, thine own begotten, breaking violent way, tore through my entrails, that with fear and pain distorted, all my nether shape thus grew transformed. But he, my inbred enemy, forth issued, brandishing his fatal dart, made to destroy, I fled and cried out, "Death!" Hell trembled at the hideous name and sighed, from all her caves and back resounded, "Death!" I fled, but he pursued, though more it seems inflamed with lust than rage, and swifter far me overtook his mother, all dismayed, and in embraces forcible and foul, engendering with me, of that rape begot, these yelling monsters that with ceaseless cries around me, as thou sawest, hourly conceived and hourly born, with sorrow infinite to me, for when they list into the womb that bred them, they return and howl and gnaw my bowels, their repast, then bursting forth afresh with conscious terrors, vex me round, that rest or intermission none I find. Before mine eyes in opposition sits grim death, my son and foe, who sets them on, and me, his parent, would full soon devour, for want of other prey, but that he knows his end with mine involved, and knows that I should prove a bitter morsel, and his bane, whenever that shall be, so fate pronounced. But thou, O father, I forewarn thee, shun his deadly arrow, neither vainly hope to be invulnerable in those bright arms, though tempered heavenly for that mortal dint, save he who reigns above, none can resist. She finished, and the subtle fiend his lore soon learned, now milder, and thus answered smooth. Dear daughter, since thou claim'st me for thy sire, and my fair son here show'st me the dear pledge of dalliance had with thee in heaven, and joys then sweet, now sad to mention, through dire change befallen us unforeseen, unthought of, no, I come no enemy but to set free from out this dark and dismal house of pain, both him and thee, and all the heavenly host of spirits that in our just pretences armed fell with us from on high. From them I go, this uncouth errand soul, and one for all myself expose, with lonely steps to tread the unfounded deep, and through the void immense to search with wandering quest a place foretold should be, and by concurring signs, ere now created vast and round, a place of bliss in the purlieus of heaven, and therein placed a race of upstart creatures, to supply, perhaps, our vacant room, though more removed, lest heaven surcharged with potent multitude, might hap to move new broils. Be this, or aught than this more secret now designed, I haste to know, and this once known shall soon return, and bring ye to the place where thou and death shall dwell at ease, and up and down unseen, wing silently the buxom air, embalmed with odours, there ye shall be fed and filled immeasurably, all things shall be your prey. He ceased, for both seemed highly pleased, and death grinned horrible a ghastly smile, to hear his famine should be filled, and blessed is more destined to that good hour. No less rejoiced his mother bad, and thus bespake her sire. The key of this infernal pit by due, and by command of heaven's all-powerful king, I keep, by him forbidden to unlock these adamantine gates. Against all force death ready stands to interpose his dart, fearless to be o'ermatched by living might. But what owe I to his commands above, who hates me and hath hither thrust me down into this gloom of Tartarus profound, to sit in hateful office here confined, inhabitant of heaven and heavenly born, here, in perpetual agony and pain, with terrors and with clamours compassed round, of mine own brood that on my bowels feed. Thou art my father, thou my author, thou my being gavest me. Whom should I obey but thee, whom follow? Thou wilt bring me soon to that new world of light and bliss, among the gods who live at ease, where I shall reign at thy right hand, voluptuous, as beseems thy daughter and thy darling, without end. Thus saying, from her side the fatal key, sad instrument of all our woe, she took, and towards the gate rolling her bestial train, forthwith the huge portcullis high up drew, which but herself not all the Stygian powers could once have moved. Then in the keyhole turns the intricate wards, and every bolt and bar of massy iron or solid rock with ease unfastens, on a sudden open fly, with impetuous recoil and jarring sound, the infernal doors, and on their hinges great, harsh thunder that the lowest bottom shook of Erebus. She opened, but to shut, excelled her power. The gates wide open stood, that with extended wings a bannered host under spread ensigns marching might pass through, with horse and chariots ranked in loose array. So wide they stood, and like a furnace mouth, cast forth redounding smoke and ruddy flame. Before their eyes in sudden view appear the secrets of the hoary deep, a dark, illimitable ocean without bound, without dimension, where length, breadth, and height, and time and place are lost. Where eldest night and chaos, ancestors of nature, hold eternal anarchy, amidst the noise of endless wars, and by confusion stand. For hot, cold, moist, and dry, four champions fierce strive here for maestry, and to battle bring their embryon atoms. They, around the flag, of each his faction in their several clans, light-armed or heavy, sharp, smooth, swift or slow, swarm populous, unnumbered as the sands of Barca or Cyrene's torrid soil, levied to side with warring winds, and poise their lighter wings. To whom these most adhere, he rules a moment. Chaos, umpire, sits, and by decision more embroils the fray, by which he reigns. Next him, high arbiter, chance, governs all. Into this wild abyss, the womb of nature, and perhaps her grave, of neither sea, nor shore, nor air, nor fire, but all these in their pregnant causes mixed, confusedly, and which thus must ever fight, unless the Almighty Maker them ordain his dark materials to create more worlds, into this wild abyss the wary fiend stood on the brink of hell and looked awhile, pondering his voyage. For no narrow frith he had to cross. Nor was his ear less peeled with noises loud and ruinous, to compare great things and small, than when Bellona storms, with all her battering engines bent to raise some capital city, or less than if this frame of heaven were falling, and these elements in mutiny had from her axle torn the steadfast earth. At last his sail-broad fans he spreads for flight, and in the surging smoke, uplifted, spurns the ground, thence many a league, as in a cloudy chair ascending rides audacious. But that seat soon failing meets a vast vacuity. All unawares, fluttering his pennons, vain plumb down he drops, 10,000 fathom deep. And to this hour down had been falling, had not by ill chance the strong rebuff of some tumultuous cloud, instinct with fire and nitre, hurried him as many miles aloft. That fury stayed, quenched in a boggy surtis, neither sea nor good dry land. Nigh foundered on he fares, treading the crude consistence, half on foot, half flying, behoves him now both oar and sail. As when a griffin through the wilderness, with winged course o'er hill or moory dale, pursues the Arimaspian, who by stealth had from his wakeful custody purloined the guarded gold. So eagerly the fiend, or bog or steep, through strait, rough, dense or rare, with head, hands, wings or feet, pursues his way, and swims or sinks, or wades, or creeps, or flies. At length, a universal hubbub wild, of stunning sounds and voices all confused, borne through the hollow dark, assaults his ear, with loudest vehemence. Thither he plies, undaunted to meet there whatever power or spirit of the nethermost abyss might in that noise reside. Of whom to ask which way the nearest coast of darkness lies, bordering on light? When straight behold the throne of chaos and his dark pavilion spread wide on the wasteful deep. With him enthroned sat sable-vested night, eldest of things, the consort of his reign, and by them stood Orcus and Aedes and the dreadful name of Demogorgon, rumour next, and chance, and tumult and confusion all embroiled, and discord with a thousand various mouths, To whom Satan, turning boldly thus, "Ye powers and spirits of this nethermost abyss, chaos and ancient night, I come no spy, with purpose to explore or to disturb the secrets of your realm, but by constraint, wandering this darksome desert, as my way lies through your spacious empire up to light. Alone and without guide, half lost, I seek what readiest path leads where your gloomy bounds confine with heaven, or if some other place, from your dominion won, the ethereal king possesses lately thither to arrive, I travel this profound. Direct my course. Directed, no mean recompense it brings to your behoof, if I that region lost, all usurpation thence expelled, reduce to her original darkness and your sway, which is my present journey, and once more erect the standard there of ancient night. Yours be the advantage all, mine the revenge." Thus Satan, and him thus the anarch old, with faltering speech and visage incomposed, answered, "I know thee, stranger, who thou art, that mighty leading angel who of late made head against heaven's king, though overthrown. I saw and heard, for such a numerous host fled not in silence through the frightened deep, with ruin upon ruin, rout on rout, confusion worse confounded, and heaven gates poured out by millions, her victorious bands pursuing. I upon my frontiers here keep residence. If all I can will serve, that little which is left so to defend, encroached on still through our intestine broils, weakening the scepter of old night. First hell, your dungeon stretching far and wide beneath. Now lately heaven and earth, another world, hung o'er my realm, linked in a golden chain, to that side heaven from whence your legions fell. If that way be your walk, you have not far, so much the nearer danger. Go and speed. Havoc and spoil and ruin are my gain." He ceased, and Satan stayed not to reply, but glad that now his sea should find a shore, with fresh alacrity and force renewed, springs upward like a pyramid of fire, into the wild expanse, and through the shock of fighting elements, on all sides round environed winds his way, harder beset and more endangered than when Argo passed through Bosporus betwixt the jostling rocks, or when Ulysses on the larboard shunned Charybdis, and by the other whirlpool steered. So he, with difficulty and labour hard, moved on, with difficulty and labour he. But he once passed, soon after, when man fell, strange alteration, sin and death amain, following his track, such was the will of heaven, paved after him a broad and beaten way, over the dark abyss, whose boiling gulf tamely endured a bridge of wondrous length, from hell continued, reaching the utmost orb of this frail world, by which the spirits perverse, with easy intercourse, pass to and fro, to tempt or punish mortals, except whom God and good angels guard by special grace. But now at last the sacred influence of light appears, and from the walls of heaven shoots far into the bosom of dim night a glimmering dawn. Here nature first begins her farthest verge, and chaos to retire, as from her outmost works a broken foe, with tumult less and with less hostile din, that Satan with less toil and now with ease wafts on the calmer wave by dubious light, and like a weather-beaten vessel holds gladly the port, though shrouds and tackle torn. Or, in the emptier waste resembling air, weighs his spread wings, at leisure to behold far off the imperial heaven, extended wide, in circuit, undetermined square or round, with opal towers and battlements adorned, of living sapphire, once his native seat. And fast by, hanging in a golden chain, this pendant world, in bigness as a star, of smallest magnitude close by the moon. Thither, full fraught with mischievous revenge, accursed and in a cursed hour, he hies. Book 3. The Argument. God sitting on his throne sees Satan flying towards this world, then newly created, shows him to the Son who sat at his right hand, foretells the success of Satan in perverting mankind, clears his own justice and wisdom from all imputation, having created man free and able enough to have withstood his tempter, yet declares his purpose of grace towards him, in regard he fell not of his own malice, as did Satan, but by him seduced. The Son of God renders praises to his Father for the manifestation of his gracious purpose towards man, but God again declares that grace cannot be extended towards man without the satisfaction of divine justice. Man hath offended the majesty of God by aspiring to Godhead, and therefore with all his progeny devoted to death must die, unless someone can be found sufficient to answer for his offence and undergo his punishment. The Son of God freely offers himself a ransom for man. The Father accepts him, ordains his incarnation, pronounces his exaltation above all names in heaven and earth, commands all the angels to adore him. They obey, and hymning to their harps in full choir, celebrate the Father and the Son. Meanwhile, Satan alights upon the bare convex of this world's outermost orb, where wandering he first finds a place, since called the limbo of vanity. What persons and things fly up thither? Thence comes to the gate of heaven, described ascending by stairs, and the waters above the firmament that flow about it. His passage thence to the orb of the sun. He finds there Uriel, the regent of that orb, but first changes himself into the shape of a meaner angel, and pretending a zealous desire to behold the new creation and man whom God had placed there, inquires of him the place of his habitation, and is directed, alights first on Mount Niphates. Hail, holy light, offspring of heaven's firstborn, or of the eternal co-eternal beam, may I express thee unblamed? Since God is light, and never but in unapproached light dwelt from eternity, dwelt then in thee, bright effluence of bright essence increate, or hearest thou rather pure ethereal stream, whose fountain who shall tell? Before the sun, before the heavens thou wert, and at the voice of God, as with a mantle, didst invest the rising world of waters dark and deep, one from the void and formless infinite. Thee I revisit now with bolder wing, escape the Stygian pool, though long detained in that obscure sojourn, while in my flight, through utter and through middle darkness borne, with other notes than to the Orphean lyre, I sung of chaos and eternal night, taught by the heavenly muse to venture down the dark descent, and up to reascend. Though hard and rare, thee I revisit safe, and feel thy sovereign vital lamp, but thou revisit'st not these eyes that roll in vain, to find thy piercing ray, and find no dawn. So thick a drop serene hath quenched their orbs, or dim suffusion veiled, yet not the more cease I to wonder where the muses haunt, clear spring, or shady grove, or sunny hill, smit with the love of sacred song. But chief, thee Zion and the flowery brooks beneath, that wash thy hallowed feet, and warbling flow, nightly I visit. Nor sometimes forget those other two equalled with me in fate. So were I equalled with them in renown, blind Thamyris and blind Maconides, and Tiresias and Phineus, prophets old. Then feed on thoughts that voluntary move harmonious numbers, as the wakeful bird sings darkling, and in shadiest covert hid, tunes her nocturnal note. Thus with the year seasons return, but not to me returns day, or the sweet approach of even or morn, or sight of vernal bloom, or summer's rose, or flocks, or herds, or human face divine, but cloud instead, and ever-during dark surrounds me, from the cheerful ways of men cut off, and for the book of knowledge fair, presented with a universal blank, of nature's works to me expunged and raised, and wisdom at one entrance quite shut out. so much the rather thou, celestial light, shine inward, and the mind, through all her powers, irradiate. There plant eyes, all mist from thence purge and disperse, that I may see and tell of things invisible to mortal sight. Now had the Almighty Father from above, from the pure Empyrean where he sits, high-throned above all height, bent down his eye, his own works and their works at once to view. About him all the sanctities of heaven stood thick as stars, and from his sight received beatitude past utterance. On his right, the radiant image of his glory sat, his only Son. On earth he first beheld our two first parents, yet the only two of mankind, in the happy garden placed, reaping immortal fruits of joy and love, uninterrupted joy, unrivalled love, in blissful solitude. He then surveyed hell and the gulf between, and Satan there, coasting the wall of heaven on this side night, in the dun air sublime, and ready now to stoop with wearied wings and willing feet on the bare outside of this world that seemed firm land embosomed without firmament, uncertain which, in ocean or in air. Him, God beholding from his prospect high, wherein past, present, future he beholds, thus to his only Son, foreseeing, spake. Only begotten Son, seest thou what rage transports our adversary, whom no bounds prescribed, no bars of hell, nor all the chains heaped on him there, nor yet the main abyss wide interrupt can hold. So bent he seems on desperate revenge that shall redound upon his own rebellious head. And now, through all restraint broke loose, he wings his way, not far off heaven, in the precincts of light, directly towards the new created world, and man there placed, with purpose to assay if him by force he can destroy, or worse, by some false guile pervert, and shall pervert. For man will hearken to his glozing lies, and easily transgress the sole command, sole pledge of his obedience. So will fall he and his faithless progeny. Whose fault? Whose but his own? Ingrate, he had of me all he could have. I made him just and right, sufficient to have stood, though free to fall. Such I created all the ethereal powers and spirits, both them who stood and them who failed. Freely they stood, and fell. Not free, what proof could they have given sincere of true allegiance, constant faith or love, where only what they needs must do appeared, not what they would? What praise could they receive? What pleasure I from such obedience paid, when will and reason also is choice, useless and vain, of freedom both despoiled, made passive both, had served necessity, not me? They therefore as to right belonged, so were created, nor can justly accuse their maker, or their making, or their fate, as if predestination overruled their will, disposed by absolute decree or high foreknowledge. They themselves decreed their own revolt, not I. If I foreknew, foreknowledge had no influence on their fault, which had no less proved certain unforeknown. So, without least impulse or shadow of fate, or aught by me immutably foreseen, they trespass, authors to themselves in all, both what they judge and what they choose. For so I formed them free, and free they must remain, till they enthrall themselves. I else must change their nature, and revoke the high decree, unchangeable, eternal, which ordained their freedom. They themselves ordained their fall. The first sort by their own suggestion fell, self-tempted, self-depraved. Man falls deceived by the other first. Man therefore shall find grace, the other none. In mercy and justice both, through heaven and earth, so shall my glory excel, but mercy first and last shall brightest shine. Thus, while God spake, ambrosial fragrance filled all heaven, and in the blessed spirits elect, sense of new joy ineffable diffused. Beyond compare, the Son of God was seen most glorious. In him all his Father shone, substantially expressed, and in his face